such a blessing to be able to be together, be able to worship together. I appreciate those who have led us in our worship this morning and the encouraging and uplifting way in which they've done so in helping us to honor and glorify God. That's what we're here for. That is our aim and our goal. And I want to mention as we begin the lesson this morning that if there is anything that I say or have said throughout the course of these past few days that you have questions about, then please bring those questions to my attention. I'd be glad to discuss any of these lessons with you or Bible-related questions. If there's anything that I've said that you have further questions about, just let me know and we can discuss those things. And of course, if there's anyone here who has questions about the things that are taught or Bible questions that need answers, then please seek out either myself or Jeff or one of the men here who can give you those answers from Scripture. You need to get your Bible questions answered. And that's what we're here to do. That's what we hope to do. I want to talk to you this morning about leaving a lasting legacy. The first passage we're going to look at will be Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you'd like to go ahead and turn in the Old Testament to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Several of you have asked about my family over these past few days. And I've mentioned that I had originally hoped to bring my beautiful wife and our five children to be part of this meeting, and unfortunately that did not happen, and we just moved locally. We just bought a house about 3 weeks ago and moved, and that just kind of threw life into chaos, and it seemed that maybe making a trip across the country with all seven of us might not be the wise thing to do at this particular time, but I do wish that I had them with me and would love for them to be able to meet all of you, but in any case, I did bring a picture of them. There's my wife Cynthia in the middle, and Olivia is my oldest. She's 10 years old. Up to the top of the picture there, my son Zeb is 8 years old. And then here's Minnie, she's 6. Boaz over here at the bottom is 4 years old, just turned 4. And here is Evelyn, the youngest. She just turned 1. And Evelyn Daniela is her name, middle name, of course, named after my cousin Daniel Gates. We called her Daniela for her middle name. That's my family that are waiting for me back home. So as much as I've enjoyed being with you, I do have about 6 good reasons there why I am looking forward to being back in Texas, Lord willing, tomorrow night. But just wanted to give you a glimpse of them. And I was telling my wife last night how much she would have enjoyed being here and getting to be with the brethren here, as I have certainly enjoyed it to this point. Well, let's move on into the lesson, shall we? Leaving a lasting legacy. What we find as we read in Scripture is that God has an expectation of His people. God expects His people to pass their faith on to the next generation. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, when the Israelites were preparing to enter the promised land, Moses spoke to the people on this occasion. And notice in Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verses 1 and 2, he said, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged." You'll notice here in what is expressed that not only were the people of God at that time to keep his commandments themselves, but also that each man's faithfulness was expected to lead to the faithfulness of his son. Notice, not only his son, but also his grandson. In other words, one person's faithfulness to the Lord should have a multi-generational impact, so that those of the next generation, and even those of the generation after that, will also be faithful to the Lord. I appreciate the passage being read for us a moment ago, 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, as we noticed just a few moments ago, the Apostle Paul made reference to that kind of an impact as he wrote to Timothy about Timothy's faith. And there Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5 that he called to remembrance the genuine faith, he says, that is in you, that is the faith that is in Timothy. Notice what he says here, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. You see the multi-generational impact of a sincere and genuine faith. From grandmother to grandson. Your faithfulness, if you are a child of God, your faithfulness as a follower of Christ should lead to the faithfulness of your children and even of your children's children. Well, what that means then is that godly training must take place in the home. In order for God's people to pass their faith on to the next generation, we must be actively training and guiding our children to believe and to obey the Lord. With respect to spiritual matters, we recognize in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 that the inspired wise man says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Here is that training that is supposed to be present in the home, the training of children, and the impact that that training is to have. That even when he's old, he won't depart from it. You know, it's neither by accident nor by default that children who are raised by faithful Christians also would grow up to be faithful Christians themselves. That does not happen automatically. That does not happen by accident. Children grow up to serve the Lord because they have been trained. They have been trained to trust the Lord, to reverence the Lord, and to obey the Lord. That's how it happens. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul charges parents with the responsibility of training their children to obey the Lord. There he says in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." In order for your faith to be passed on to your children and to your children's children, there must be training that takes place. We've got to train our children in godliness. Now that brings us then to the idea of a legacy. What kind of a legacy are we leaving? What does that even mean? Let's just take a moment to define that based on the dictionary definition of the term. I've taken this from Merriam-Webster.com. What is a legacy? Well, a legacy is defined as a gift by will, especially of money or other personal property. It's something that is transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor or from the past. Here are some examples given there. She left us a legacy of $1 million. Or her artistic legacy lives on through her children. That helps us to illustrate what it means to leave a legacy. Something that is passed on from one generation to the next. So the concept of a legacy, as you can see here, even in one of these examples that is given, the concept of a legacy is often viewed in worldly terms. That is, with having to do with leaving a monetary inheritance. In this case, $1 million. That's pretty good worldly legacy. Leaving that kind of an inheritance to one's children or passing on some sort of special skill to your children. But as we think about those things, shouldn't the legacy that a faithful Christian passes on to his children be something more significant than $1 million or than artistic ability? Shouldn't it be something greater and more profound than that? We often make the point that when it comes to money and material possessions, that you can't take those things with you when you die. And you certainly can't take those things to heaven. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul writes, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out." No, you can't take all that money with you to heaven. And you think about it. What can you take with you to heaven? When you think about money and material things and homes and wealth and all of that stuff that we accumulate, what is it that you can take to heaven? But it's true, you can't take your bank account with you to heaven. You can't take your house to heaven. What about your car? What about your boat or your RV? Can you take that to heaven? How about your home theater system? Can you take that with you to heaven? No. But you know what? As a godly parent, you can take your children with you to heaven. The truth is that our earthly pursuits and accomplishments will fade. But as parents, the impact that we have on the salvation of our children, that is an impact that will last through eternity. What kind of legacy are we leaving behind? Is it a legacy that consists of the fleeting things of this world, money and material things and worldly skills? Or is it a lasting legacy? What kind of a legacy will we leave behind? Well, the Bible tells us how we can go about leaving a lasting legacy. Continue on with me in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And notice here that as Moses continued his instruction to the Israelites on the borders of Canaan, he went on to say this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, picking up there in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. How can we leave a lasting legacy? Well, I suggest to you this morning that the answer to that question is found right here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. First of all, you've got to love God with all your heart. Well, notice here, what does that mean to love God? The Israelites were instructed here in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5 in our passage, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might or strength. To many people, though, the concept of loving God is what? Well, that's the idea that you just go about your life doing really whatever you want to do while feeling in your heart that God loves you and that you love Him. That's the concept of loving God that so many people have in our world today. But the true concept of loving God, you'll notice, involves not just a feeling, but a command that is to be obeyed. You shall love the Lord your God. That's a command. And you might recall in Matthew chapter 22, when Jesus was asked there the question in Matthew 22 and in verse 36, Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? How did he respond? Well, he responded there in verse 37, saying to the one who questioned him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now, remember, what was the question? What is the great commandment? This is a command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. To love God with all your heart is to make a conscious choice. This is not just a feeling. This is making a conscious choice to consider our relationship with Him to be the very highest priority in our lives, so that then we live our lives every day with a view toward pleasing Him in our thoughts, in our conduct, in all that we do. That's what it means to love the Lord with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind. What I'm saying to you is, and what these passages are showing us, is that there isn't any way to separate loving God from doing exactly what God instructs you to do. So many people want to separate those things. They say, now, do you believe in loving God, or do you believe in following all those commands, as though there's some kind of difference or separation between those two things? No, there is no separation. If you love God with all your heart, you're doing everything that God expects of you to do. You're following His Word. How do I know that? Well, what did Jesus say in John chapter 14 and verse 15? If you love Me, you'll have a real warm feeling in your heart as you go about your business doing what you feel like doing. You know what He said? If you love Me, keep My commandments. There is no separation. There is no distinction to be made between truly loving God with all your heart and doing what God says to do in your life. Loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind means that you are doing your best to do what pleases Him day in and day out. That's what a life of loving God with all your heart is all about. Now, if you're a parent or a grandparent, you've got to set the example of faithfulness for your children or your grandchildren to follow. If you expect your children to grow up, now you might say, well, I don't have children and this doesn't apply to me. Well, think about it now. Others are looking to you for an example. Or you may get married if you're not married. You may have children if you do not have them. You may have an impact on children. If you don't today, you might down the road. If you expect your children to grow up, to faithfully serve the Lord to the best of their ability, then you better be faithfully serving the Lord to the best of your ability. In other words, as parents, we are charged with the responsibility of modeling the behavior that we expect our children to display in their own lives. Question is, what are we modeling for them? What example are we setting? When our children watch us from day to day, are they seeing people who truly love the Lord and are committed to pleasing Him in all that they do? Or are they seeing people in us who live, you know, just about like the rest of the world, except that we also happen to drag them to church on Sunday? What are they seeing? Are we showing them how to love money? Are we showing them how to love the things of this world? Or are we showing them how to love God and how to prepare for eternity? In 1 John chapter 2, in verses 15 through 17, the Apostle John there writes, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Leaving a lasting legacy begins by showing our children a love for God that is greater than a love for the things of this world. But there's more. As we think about leaving a lasting legacy, what we need to do is to keep God's Word in our hearts. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Notice what Moses said there to the Israelites, to God's people in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. He says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your hearts." Let me ask you something. How often do you think about God's Word? The Israelites were told here that the words which they were commanded were to be in their hearts. The Word of God then was not something that was supposed to be quickly gone over once and then tossed aside to make room for the next piece of information coming in. Instead, it was to be kept. It was to be thought about. It was to be used as a guide for everyday life. In Psalm 119, the psalmist spoke to God along these lines, in Psalm 119 and verse 11, saying to God, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." And then notice the 105th verse of Psalm 119 where he says to God, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Ever been out in the dark, had a flashlight or a lantern? Can't see where you're going, but all of a sudden you've got this light and it's showing you the way, helping you keep on the right path, helping you to keep from stumbling. That's what God's Word is for our lives. It is the light to our path. It is our constant guide. God has given us His Word so that it can serve as our guide in life, so that our steps can be directed by His wise counsel. Got to meditate on God's Word constantly. We spent last evening talking about the importance of not being destroyed for lack of knowledge, but studying God's Word, doing it every day, reading the Bible every day and taking it into our minds and in our hearts. If we don't have God's Word in our hearts, we're going to stand very little chance of passing it on to our children's hearts. Our children need to see us reading our Bibles, parents. They need to see us reading our Bibles. They need to see us praying to God. They need to see and to understand that the decisions that we make as we go through life, that those decisions are guided by the teaching of God's Word. That's what they need to see in their parents. They need to see that we don't do things like everybody else does, where we figure, well, I think this is the right thing to do, or that's the right thing to do, or I feel like doing this. They need to see that we're doing things because God says to do it, because God's Word instructs us. Don't save your spiritual thoughts and your Bible study for Sunday or Wednesday. Read and study the Bible every day. Keep it in your heart when you go to work, when you're at home with your family, when you're talking with your neighbors. Keep God's Word there. How many of us could honestly speak to God as the psalmist does in Psalm 119 and verse 97 and say this? Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. How many of us can really say that? We might be able to say that about some other things. Oh, how I love sports. It is my meditation all the day. Oh, how I love this hobby that I've got. And I think about it all the time and I can't wait to get back to it. Oh, how I love camping and wish I could go camping all the time. Whatever it may be. What about God's Word? Can we honestly talk like that? I love God's Word. I think about it all the time. You know, there are many pressing matters which compete for our attention. But notice in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, that there are to be certain things, certain kinds of things that are on our minds all the time. In Philippians 4 and verse 8, Paul says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." See, in order to have a lasting legacy that we leave to our children, we have to be thinking and focusing on the right things. We have to have God's Word in our hearts as we train them and guide them. That's how to leave a lasting legacy. But it doesn't stop there. In order to leave a lasting legacy, you've got to teach God's Word diligently to your children. Going back again to Deuteronomy chapter 6, to our passage there, think about what kind of teaching is being done in your home. Notice what was said to the Israelites here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. Moses told them, "You shall teach them," that is God's words, "you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." Notice just how comprehensive the use of God's Word in the home is to be. First of all, it's not something that is to be occasionally discussed, but it is to be taught, as he says here, diligently by parents to children. Not casually, but diligently. It's not to be something that is rarely discussed, but instead God's words are to be discussed, notice here, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. If we're discussing God's Word with our children, the bare minimum that we can get away with, you know, so that they don't fall too far behind the other kids in Bible class and make us look bad, if we're just discussing at the bare minimum that we can get by with, then we can probably expect the bare minimum when it comes to their faithfulness to the Lord in the future. Don't settle for the bare minimum. You got to actively teach your children the Word of God. And you know, don't make excuses. I hear excuses sometimes for why it can't be done. And for what? You know, I can't remember. I can't retain enough of the Bible to be able to teach my children. You know, you preachers, you know, I don't know the Bible like you do. And it's not the same. You don't understand. And don't tell me you can memorize the jersey numbers and the stats of all the players in your favorite team. Or that you somehow know all the current hunting and fishing regulations, but you just can't remember quite enough about the Bible to be able to teach your children. No, 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 no. Don't tell me you know the names of all your favorite actors and actresses and can remember the days and the times when your favorite TV shows come on and all that kind of thing, but you don't know enough about the Bible to be able to tell your children and teach your children about. And don't tell me that you know all the rules and regulations and procedures associated with your job and that you've got all that memorized and got all that down, but somehow you can't remember enough and retain enough and understand enough to be able to teach your children the Word of God. And somebody might say, well, but my job, but what? But that's important and this isn't? Is that what we mean to say? And let's notice again that fathers are especially charged with taking the lead here and seeing to it that their children are taught and trained in godliness. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. As we read earlier, Paul says, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." You see, the primary responsibility is placed on the father as the head of the household to make sure this training gets done. It is a wonderful thing, don't misunderstand me, it is a wonderful thing for mothers to teach their children the Word of God and to read the Bible to them and to instruct them in godliness. And I have wonderful memories, I'm glad to say, of my own mother teaching me the Bible from a very young age. And I wouldn't trade that for anything. But fathers are specifically instructed here to be heading up the spiritual training that's going on in the home. Now, dads, we need to get over this idea that teaching the children about the Bible, that's mom's job. You know, I'm busy out here and I'm working, I'm going to work every day and I'm taking care of those things and bringing home the bacon and that's her department. That's her job to be teaching the children and you know, reading Bible stories to the children and that kind of thing. Now, we better get over that, dads, and get busy doing the job that God has given us to do as the leaders of our home. If you're not doing that, you better start. If you can talk to your kids about sports, and you can talk to your kids about movies, and you can talk to your kids about video games and whatever else, but you can't seem to talk to them about God's Word, there is a problem. Get the Word of God in your heart. Meditate on it. Take some time each day to read Scripture, not only for yourself, but to read Scripture with your children and make sure they understand the will of God for their lives. Now, our children are being taught. We don't have to worry about that. Our children are being taught all sorts of things. Being taught by school. They're being taught through what they see on television. They're being taught through movies. They're being taught through their peers. They're being taught through the influences of the world. Our children are being taught. Make no mistake about that. We better make sure that we're teaching them the truth of God's Word. Because they're getting taught. We've got to make sure they're getting taught the right things. And if we're going to leave a lasting spiritual legacy, we've got to diligently teach our children the Word of God from day to day, day in and day out. And then let me also share with you that if we're going to leave a lasting legacy, we've got to remain focused on God's Word at all times. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Notice with me our passage. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Think about what information is the focus of your home. In Deuteronomy 6 and verses 8 and 9, Moses said, "Concerning the words of God, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." You know what that means? That means, in other words, that God's Word is supposed to be constantly in front of you at all times throughout each day of each week. That's what he's talking about here. Surround yourself with God's Word. Keep it in front of you. Well, with newspapers and magazines, and television and the internet and mail and email and texts. We are constantly bombarded with information, aren't we? We live in the information age, they say. And we are constantly flooded with information from all of these different sources all day, every day, all day long. Let me ask you something. What is the most vital information that is focused on in our homes? Is it the latest stock market numbers? Is the most vital information whatever is stated on our bank statements that we receive in the mail? Is the most vital information the latest sports news on ESPN? Is it whatever is being reported at the moment on the Fox News channel? What is the most important and vital information in our homes? You know, I don't know what Timothy knew about sports or about investments or about the economy or about world affairs. But I do know this about Timothy. Timothy was the recipient of a lasting spiritual legacy. I know that because not only did Paul write concerning his faith, which was passed down from his mother and his grandmother in 2 Timothy chapter 1, but notice what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verses 14 and 15 to Timothy. He said, "But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them," notice this in verse 15, "and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." I don't know what all Timothy knew about all those other areas of life, but he knew from childhood the Word of God. What a wonderful inheritance was passed on to Timothy because he was surrounded by God's Word from his earliest childhood. Is God's Word the focus of our homes? You've got to maintain your focus on the Word of God. It is supposed to be our constant companion in life. Our involvement with the Word of God is not like a course we take in school after which, you know, we graduate and we move on and we sell the textbook. You know, there were a lot of classes I took in college that were like that. You know, not all preachers are weird like Jeff Smeltzer. Let me qualify that a little bit. When I took calculus, Jeff, I couldn't wait to sell the textbook and get rid of that thing. Okay? That was not an enjoyable experience for me. The Bible is not like that. You don't just take the course and, "Oh, I've done that, and okay, now on to the next thing. Let's move on." No. It's not something that we focus on for a season and then we move on to something else, you know, like we do with hobbies. You know, "I've done that for a while, now I'm going to do this for a while." We are expected to keep this in front of us at all times. Why? So that we stay focused on the will of God, and so that we keep our families and that we keep our children focused on the will of God's will. You know, our children are watching. Our children are watching to see whether we're making our decisions based on greed or based on some other worldly impulse or based on devotion to the Lord. They're watching and they're seeing. They're watching to see whether we act out of emotion or whether we act based on the instruction that God has given. And they're going to see what is most important to us by the way we're living our lives. They're going to see what is most important to us by how central a role the Word of God plays in our lives. We'll leave a lasting spiritual legacy when we maintain our focus on God's Word and when it's made clear that our steps are directed by what God says. That's when we're going to leave a lasting spiritual legacy. What kind of a legacy are you working to leave in your life? Now listen to me, especially parents. Listen, we live in a land of abundance and wealth compared to much of the rest of the world. We've got everything at our fingertips. We've got everything we could need and more and all the luxuries of life and all that kind of thing. Now listen very carefully. Don't give your kids everything this world has to offer and withhold from them the thing that they need more than anything else. The Bible tells us in Psalm 127 and verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." We've been blessed by God if we have children. we need to raise those children so that they will be a blessing to Him. What kind of a legacy are we leaving? It's up to us as parents to teach and to train and to guide our children, to set a godly example for them so that they live lives of faithfulness and godliness before Him. But you know, before we can accomplish any good in helping others to be faithful to the Lord, we first need to make sure that we are living faithfully to Him ourselves. If you would, take out your songbook and open to the song that's been selected for our encouragement as a song of invitation this morning. Are you living a life of faithfulness to the Lord today? If not, let's think about that for a moment. Why not? There is so much at stake here. Everything is at stake. If you need to obey the gospel so that you can become a child of God, then we hope that you'll make the decision to do that today. If you've never been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, we can take care of that. I'm confident we can take care of that today, now. If you're ready to turn from your sins and confess your belief that Jesus is the Son of God, you can be buried with Christ in baptism. You can be immersed in water today and raised out of those waters to start a new life in serving the Lord. If you've already done that, but as a child of God, you need to turn from your sins so that you can once again live the life of a faithful child of God, won't you come to Him on His terms today? We're told in 1 John chapter 1 that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you need the cleansing the Lord's blood offers, won't you come and make those changes, make those corrections today, receive what the Lord has promised? If we can help you and encourage you, there's nothing we would love to do more than to help you to be right with God. But please, if that's your situation, please let your need be made known by coming down to the front while we stand together and while we sing.